Tape 4, interview with Jack Spicer. So tell us what happened next from Israel.
I took my wife to Israel. So the boys, they came from all over the country to see me.
Where did you meet your wife?
Here.
So you came from Israel to Australia?
Yeah, I came to Australia, yeah.
When did you come to
Australia? 1954.
Yeah. Where did you come to in Australia? Which part?
To Melbourne. Yeah, I had two brothers here. You see, and I was very homesick, you know. I couldn't find my spot here. Because when I was there, everybody knew me already. I never passed 100 yards, somebody not to say hello to me. And here I walked the whole street, nobody looked at me even. It was terrible. I was so. I nearly wanted to go back. Till I met my wife. I met her in a dance, Eden Hall. I don't know if it still exists or not.
How old were you when you met her at this dance?
I think about 24 or something. Yeah, and then we got engaged and then we got married and that's it. We had four lovely children, all boys. My wife wanted to have a girl. Every time she had a boy, she said, no more. Then she said, but I have to have a daughter. And every time was another boy. Terrible. Now we have one granddaughter in Israel, and that's my wife's, you know, I don't know how to describe you. She'll do anything for Elise, you know. Even my daughter-in-law already complains. What are you buying her so much? She doesn't need it. She's got full of everything, but my wife doesn't stop. Every time she goes to High Street, she sees something nice for Elise. And there's no limit how much it is. For Elise, the sky is the limit. We talked to her on Friday and she said, Buba, you coming? Every day I count the days. She still speaks a bit of English, you know, because I talk to her. But she's got that Israeli accent already. When she left, she was only 2 and a half. She's 6, 7. Gonna be 7, I think, in September.
Okay, let's go back to when you married your wife and where did you live?
I lived in South Sierra.
What in?
In a flat. It was not such a big thing, you know. Very dark, you had to use the lights every day, all day. And then I worked very hard.
Where did you work?
In my business. We had a business, myself and my brothers.
Which brothers was this?
Harry and Charlie.
And what was the business?
Clothing. Gave you my jackets. We worked very hard. We worked 15 hours a day. We didn't have enough work. We used to iron frocks for somebody. 10 cents a frock. Pennies, not cents. We built up a good business, you know. We had a very good business. It's still going. You have to be young, you have to be, but too retired. And myself and my brother, my boys scream, I have to get out of it, it's enough. I don't know, we'll see.
Was your wife working at the time?
No, She worked before she got married. She worked in Buckley's, Buckley Nun.
So you had your first child, and what was his name?
Gary Spice. And after 18 months, we had another one, Stanley. And then we had Morris after 2 years. And then we had Benny after 6 years.
And when did you change your name to Spicer?
After the marriage, my wife used to go to the doctor, and every time he couldn't spell the name, you know. He didn't want a word. He used to spell it Feldspicer, this and this. My brother had already changed their names by Diepel, you know. So we changed it too, and to make it easier. My oldest brother, he still retains his name. He still calls himself Feldspicer. And his son, he's got a chemist job, and he was also Feldspicer. So he calls himself Feldy.
What was your wife's name before she married you?
Seckler.
What's her first name?
Helen Seckler. S-E-K-E-L-R.
Okay, so you were married and you had 4 boys. You're working in the tailor in your own family business.
And we gave them the best education, you know, the best. Because we never had, so I thought without education it's very hard to exist in this world, you know how it is. Well, I'd never told them not to go into a profession like to be a plumber or a carpenter. I never said no. I said, whatever you do, have a profession. So I went to law, and we've got 3 lawyers, barristers, you know.
And the fourth one?
He's a real estate agent. Yeah, works for Talbot, Byrne and Morley. He's doing all right. We barrack for Collingwood. We have good Saturdays and bad years. You know, we waited 30 years for a premiership. And when it was 30 years, my son was overseas, the oldest. He cried over the telephone why he wasn't here. And we go to Queensland that year, and we meet Crackers Keenan. He used to coach a bit in Collingwood, and I knew him. And I introduced him, my son, and he said, to him, oh, I wasn't here when you won the premiership. He said, if I would be you, I'd go on top of Shangri-La and jump down. Well, that's it, you know. It's a good, you know what, to barrack for Collingwood, it's an experience in life. You have your ups and downs, and that teaches you a lot that nothing is forever. The good is not forever, and the bad is not forever. When Morris went to work for Touche Ross, accountant solicitor, when he came in, the first thing they asked him, who you barrack for? So he said, I barrack for Collingwood. You're going to be all right here, in this company. So but we're not fanatic, we don't fight or something, you know. It's my oldest, he used to scream a bit. But the other two, they don't scream, the other three. They just go alone, you know, you win, you win. You lose, you lose.
And does religion play a part in your life? Religion?
Look, I'm a Jew and I'll never change, and I wouldn't like to see my children marry out or something. It would be very sad for me, you know, but I don't think they'll do it. But you never know, I've got two unmarried. You got a shidduch, I'm ready to tell them. But I don't want to listen, and that's it. I'm not a religious man. I go to shul every now and then, in the holidays, in the Jewish holidays. We keep a kosher kitchen. My wife would never buy other meat and from Itmo or the other one, you know, in Glen Ferry Road. But in life, you never know what's going to happen.
What did you bring your boys up to believe?
To believe that we are Jews, you know. They all know what it's all about, you know. We have holidays, we sit together here every Friday. My wife lights candles. Traditional. Not a Friday passes without. And then they go to the football. What can you do? We played last Friday, and we play next Friday. It starts a 7:45, so we managed to get the Shabbos over.
Why do you think football plays such a big part in your life?
I think it's very healthy. That's mine, you know. You go out where I sit, for instance, in Collingwood. You got these Australian people sitting in front of me. Oh, they're very nice ladies, most of them. You know, they bring cake, they share with you if you want. Not that I want, I never asked to give me, or I never take anyway. Sandwiches and this. Then you have in the back, there's a couple of Jewish people, they scream their lungs out. This is not playing well, this is not playing well. And you sit and you listen, you know, what he screams. And then this lady in the front gets up with an umbrella and wants to hit him in the head. To sit down and to mind his own business and go back where you come from. That's true, not telling you a lie. Now we have another group, the Italian boys. They are born here maybe, or maybe came as children. They're in the 20s and the early 30s. They also scream a lot, you know. And next to me sits an Australian. He is very nice to me. And if I bring my wife, he will move and let us sit down. I have four seats. But sometimes you have a guest or something, you know. Like last week we had two guests from Adelaide and we played at home. That's my sons from business. They're betting for Adelaide. And I had to give them two seats. So I said, Harold, have we got extra seats here? He said, of course we have, we'll move. You know, and if he brings somebody, I move. Mm. So there's no problem, you know.
Okay. Yep.
Very nice man.
How do you think your experiences in the Holocaust have affected your life?
Look, I will always carry this on my back all my life. I never forget, never, never. I can see things every day, you know. I live with it, but I don't talk about it, you know. I live with it. I can't never forget. It's, you know, it's my head. It's, I don't know, what can I tell you how I feel? It's every day. If I don't see this picture, I see this picture. You know, what happened there? Every day. Honest. But I try to, you know, not to talk, not to pass it on to my wife, get angry with her, with my children, you know. I try to swallow everything, you know, I'm not a talker about it. Some people, I get angry with the wife, my neighbor, when Bobby didn't want to eat something, he said, you have to eat. You know, and I argued, and Rochelle got upset. And Bobby said, I don't like this, I don't want to eat it. He said, oh, I was there and I couldn't get this. I don't do this. If he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't like it, my wife cooked, he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it. What can I do? I'm not forcing him to eat. And over there was every now and then, Rochelle used to come in here and tell us if I behave like this. And I said, Rochelle, I don't behave like this. If he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't want to eat. And that's it. He will like something else. And besides, my wife should cook what he likes. He doesn't have to cook for me. I eat anything. I'm not a... You know, if she makes beef, I'll eat beef. If she makes chicken, I don't... The only thing I don't like is fried food. He like, you know, schnitzel, she knows. So she doesn't make it for me. I like it, she makes it for them. I don't like beef, so I don't.
And one final question. Do you have a message for the world?
I can say one thing. I think this should never be forgotten. That's all I can say, you know. Never forgive, never to forgive. Because the people, if it's my parents, if it's somebody else, we didn't do any crime, we didn't kill anybody. You have to do your time for this. We didn't do nothing. We were honest citizen, you know, and why did they deserve? Because we are Jews. That's all I have to say, you know. If I said it right or wrong, I don't know. Because the people say, we didn't see, we didn't hear. Germans, that's all stories. They knew exactly everything. When we walked from one place to the other one, they didn't see. People were barefoot, and they had to put rubbish, matters around their feet, not to walk on snow and this, without shoes. And, you know, I mean, they were standing and watching. Now they say they didn't see, they didn't hear. And I never wanted to go to Poland, and I will never go to Poland. You know, people say, I go back to the old home. We had a lovely house, you know, two-story, and I would never go back there. Never, if you give me a ticket for nothing. You know my neighbor, he died 3 years ago. This time, 3 years ago, he used to stop me, he's going to Israel. He's going to Poland. I said, Sam, what do you want to go to Poland? Didn't you have an app? You have to be punished again? In between now and Easter he died, before he went. He was going with a group, you know. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to put himself through all this agony. What for? Yeah, I have people come into my business and they say, oh, you're Polish. I said, who said I'm Polish? I speak to you, Polish. I said, you speak to me Jewish. If you can't speak Jewish, speak English. But Polish, I don't understand. I do understand. I don't want to understand. You know, it doesn't impress so much, you know, that I have to. And I want to tell you one more thing, a little thing. When I came here, we went, there was a club here, Hakoa Soccer Club, and we were members there with Mr. De Vries, Gerrit De Vries, he was the chief of the football club. And he used to deal with zips and cotton, and we used to buy from him. And he got us in as members, and we used to give him always a bit of money for the club, you know. We went to the showground one Saturday afternoon to ply the poles, right? And we were sitting there, my brother, he sit over there. And I was sitting with one fellow from Eatmo Poultry, David the Bird. I was sitting with him, and he, I don't know, he got involved with a fellow there. He started to argue with him, and I didn't get involved. And the next thing, the fellow takes an apple, a small apple, that Paul, he was sitting maybe two rows behind us, and he threw it and he hit me, right? So I went over to him and I dragged him down the stairs. I was very, very strong. I was in the Navy, you know, you pull your ropes and you, I had muscles and I was very strong. And I grabbed him by the shirt and I pulled him down the stairs and I belted the hell out of him. You can't imagine. I nearly killed him. And he was bleeding, and he made my shirt bleed. And they, anyway, the police arrives on a horse, and he pulls us apart, and he says he knows what's going on. And he, so I went, I sat down there, and he took him out. He took him out from the showground. And then my brother comes, and how are you going to go home? We never had a car at the time. We used to go by tram. And I said, don't worry, we'll go out. I'll go to the guide by myself. You don't have to come with me. He's right for you. And I said, nobody will do nothing to me. Don't you worry. And we walked out, and he was standing there. And he came and he shook my hand. He said, you are a very strong Jew. I said, yeah. Well, I said, next time, don't start with Jews, you know? And then we followed HaKoach. Another year or so, and I stopped it. Because every week was the same thing. It was not the Poles, was not the Yugoslav team, was not Yugoslav, was a Hungarian team, was not a Hungarian team, was the Italian team, was a Croatian team. I said, that's it. And I had a fellow, he used to fix our sewing machines, Fred Sumner. He said, come and watch Collingwood, you'll be all right. And he took me and I never went back. I never stopped, you know? This Paul, after we, I belted him up, whenever Yakov played Polonia, he used to run and bring me a glass of beer if I want to drink. I said, you drink yourself, don't give me to drink. You are a very brave Jew, he said to me. What else can I tell you? That's the only accident I had here with this fella. But they aren't the Semites, all the Poles, even today. So I have to speak the language, because even we have Jewish people, they come in and they want to talk. I said, no, Yiddish or English? Me no understand Polish. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. That's what I feel, you know. And I'm not going to change you. Nobody's going to change me. Nobody. Because I think they are poisoned, you know? Like Shamir used to say, when they drink the milk from the mother, they already aren't the Semites, the Poles. Mm. That's what Shamir said, the Israeli Prime Minister.
Did you experience anti-Semitism when you came to Australia in any other ways?
No. No. Well, in business, I don't know. It never got. No. I go to the football and I know I'm a Jew and I sit there and I know and never. Unless you pick on a player that he is a relation to this few women there. Because I sit already there 50 years, you know, and I don't like you to criticize the own players. Well, it's them. It's them, you know.
So is there anything else you'd like to say to the world, to your family, any messages?
No, look, I said to you everything I told you is the truth and nothing about the truth. And whatever I feel about it, if it's the German or it's the Poles, look, it should have never happened and why it happened, because we've done nothing wrong. You know, just because we are Jews. There's other nationalities too. But when it comes to the Jewish question, there's always, you know, everybody jumps on it, you know.
Mr. Spicer, thank you very much for the interview.
You're welcome.